Bonjour, bonsoir. This is JCB Live, happy hour. We're here in Yonville at the JCB Wine Bar. And this is a very exciting weekend. Besides being surrounded with beautiful rosé from all around the world, we have a very special guest who's going to tell us all about what's happening in Napa Valley. Why we are reopening slowly, surely, and with an assertive personality. We will see what's waiting for all of us. But this is going to be an exciting summer. And we have a lady who is very unique, who will tell us all about it. Her name is Lindsay Gallagher. She's been in the wine world for many decades. Although she's very young, she's very passionate, very charming, extremely talented. I've been a friend of hers, or at least she's been a friend of mine for many years now. I had the pleasure to meet her on the international scenes. She was traveling almost 6 months a year, running all the international side of the Wine Institute. One of the very few women leading at first in the wine world. And thanks to her great influence, charisma, personality, and style, attracted a lot of women in the wine world. Recently, she took the presidency of Visit Napa Valley, which is a very big deal because Napa Valley is one of the most critical, fabulous, and world destination for all of us who not only just love wine, food, great scenery, and style. So I'm very honored to welcome a mother of three who knows how to juggle life, and she'll tell us a lot about that as well, how to be a mother, how to be a fabulous wife, how to run an amazing business, and how to bring all of us back to the Napa Valley. Lindsay, bonjour!
Bonjour, how are you? So good to see you.
We are hugging with a distance.
6 feet apart, right?
Please. So Lindsay, we got to start with a little bubble because this is a very exciting weekend. What's happening in Napa Valley today and tomorrow, and give us an update.
The welcome mat is rolled out again. We can welcome people back to the Napa Valley. We're so excited about that.
Lindsay, what's happening in the heart of Napa Valley this weekend?
The great news is that we can welcome visitors back to the Napa Valley. After 3 months of sheltering in place and flattening the curve and doing really great work, we are finally able to welcome guests back. So
exciting.
We're very excited about that.
And on Rosé Weekend.
Yes, Rosé all day, right? Happy
and thank
Saturday.
You for wearing your beautiful Rosé jacket.
Live the brand. You
know? Looking delightful as always. So do we make good Rosé in Napa Valley?
We make excellent Rosé in Napa Valley. And with the backdrop of our beautiful Napa Valley lifestyle, we're happy to be cautiously and carefully welcoming people back with a lot of new protocols and safety procedures, as you know, as necessary, but we can still have an iconic and wonderful experience here in the Napa Valley.
So does that mean people can actually book hotels and restaurants, things are reopening at large?
Absolutely. We started a couple of weeks ago with our restaurants, as you know. So, and because that has been successful and well managed, last week we were informed by the county that we were able to move ahead of the rest of California because we're doing so well here in Napa Valley with our social distancing and our mask wearing and all of that.
I thought it was because we all drink a bottle a day and it keeps COVID away.
That is part of it. Yes, a bottle a day keeps COVID away for sure in my house anyway.
See, a good advice to listen to from a great lady.
It helps with children and homeschooling and all of the things we've been dealing with, but it's so nice to get to celebrate and welcome people back. Our restaurants have been open, the wineries are opening, and the hotels are able to welcome guests as well.
Wow, that's so thrilling. So we are celebrating the reopening of the French wine, Lindsay, because Burgundy has reopened 2 weeks ago with great success. So we took one of the oldest Crémant Rosé Pinot Noir from Burgundy to cheer and wish the best of luck to Napa Valley in California.
We are on the road to recovery, I hope.
How has it been over the last few months for you? Personally and for the Napa Valley at large. Give maybe a little, summary for everyone to know what we've been going through.
Well, it's the decline was devastating and quick for us, but for the whole world in that regard.
For sure.
And, you know, this is a community that depends so much on tourism to fuel the economy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would normally be 80% occupied in our hotels. And in a 2-week period, we went down to 6.5%.
Wow.
So that's a huge amount of business and a huge amount of revenue that's not coming into the Napa Valley to our organization, Visit Napa Valley, but also to our county and to our cities who get a big contribution to the general fund
that's
as well.
Right.
So we quickly had to deal with that reality. We had hotels closed. We had lots of people being laid off and furloughed and, you know, a really very tragic story for us here in a very small town in the Napa Valley. That being said, we are resilient. We have recovered from a lot of things. We've had fires and earthquakes and public safety power shutdowns, and we are very good at coming together as a community and landing on our feet. And I think that we've done that, you know, just wonderfully once again here in Napa Valley.
And how should our friends listening use Visit Napa Valley, from a website to an
Absolutely.
Organization? To a resource to come and visit this amazing valley?
We are your personal concierge for visiting the Napa Valley. Please go to visitnapavalley.com and follow us on Instagram and Facebook as well. But we love to inspire people to come here. And then we work with our towns and our visitor-serving businesses to help you have an iconic and wonderful Napa Valley experience. And we're so happy to be able to put that welcome mat back out for everybody and welcome them once again. So we will... We can do personal concierge service. We can suggest wineries that are open. We can tell you which restaurants, whether you're in Yountville or Calistoga or St. Helena, who's open and who would love to welcome you.
So it's visitnapavalley.com.
That's right.
That's so exciting to have such a great resource for everyone, because it's very true. We have many friends calling and say, I want to come this weekend. Where shall I go? I want to come in July. What and how do I plan my visit?
You need to make a reservation for wineries right now, and that is something that's different than in the past. So please come, but please check with the winery ahead of time. Come to our visitnapavalley.com website. We have a list of all the open wineries. You can click through from there and make a reservation, but you need an appointment, but we will have a wonderful experience for you once you get here.
So, Lindsay, how was it as a mother over the last few months? 3 children, a charming, very charming husband, living in the heart of Napa.
Yeah.
How is it to manage this situation, run a business? You know, we have a lot of phenomenal ladies entrepreneurs, and I've always looked at you as a prime example to all of them. So how did you face the situation yourself?
It was managed chaos, still is.
It's good to be honest.
As a small point of pressure, I have 2 children, and Les Lawn, my husband, counts as a child sometimes. Just kidding. But anyway, yes, it's been, you know, we had a lot of change and a lot to manage, both of us professionally as this was evolving. And then having the kids at home with a homeschool challenge as well was pretty crazy most days. I took kindergarten. My husband did second grade.
We split the responsibilities.
We're often on 4 Zooms at the same time in the morning, with me doing one ear in my own Zoom with the kindergarten. And
I hope my lovely wife is not yet listening, because she did it all by herself. So that means I was a bad husband.
That you've been busy here, keeping the heartbeat coming out from the Napa Valley and connecting with our family and friends all around the world. So thank you for doing that. But know that, you know, I think this has been a pretty complex time for many of us professionally and personally. It's not always pretty in our house in the morning when we're getting ready for all this. But somehow, you know, we've managed to make sure that the kids are in a good place, and that they, you know, that they are happy and that their needs are met for the most part.
So how would you advise to all the ladies still facing that? What would be your wisdom to all of them as far as managing this transition now? Summer, so is it summer camp? Do you put your kids in summer camp? You don't. You know, what do you do, really?
I often say, and I get asked this question a lot, look, there is no perfect balance. I don't think you ever achieve that. I always strive for that. But I say some days I'm a good mother, some days I'm a good wife, and some days I'm a good employee, but that's never on the same day.
So you're way too modest.
Manage expectations in that regard. And, you know, I think it's when you're a mom, you're used to prioritizing what needs immediate attention while keeping your eye on, you know, what's going to need nurturing in the long term. And so my business has suffered tremendously throughout this. But I'm happy to say that, you know, we're in a strong place now. We've continued to connect with our visitors from all around the world through our social media platforms and our website, and encourage them to, when they're ready to travel again, the Napa Valley is ready to welcome them back. And so that's been a lot of fun to keep that going until last week, when we finally are able to more proactively welcome people back. The kids went to a little bit of a golf and tennis camp this week, thank goodness.
That's a great idea. Send them away.
They were in
hours.
Small pods and they practiced social distancing, but they got to go do something besides stay in our house and fight, which was great. You know, and my husband's working with your wife tonight, so everybody's moving forward.
I know, that's exciting. So Lindsay, you know so much about wine, and we're going to go into your personal phenomenal life. How would you describe this wine in three words? French sparkling Burgundy, oldest house making Crémant 1877 to welcome Napa Valley. So
yes, well, I think first of all, for me, a big part of rosé is the color, and this is stunning. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
So I the color is wonderful. The taste is so fresh. It feels like summer to me. This is sort of like a first sip of summer. And finally, it's celebratory, and we're so happy to be celebrating the return of visitors to the Napa Valley.
So. We back!
It is French, and so, you know, in my house, whenever, you know, my husband is likes to drink wines from all over the world, I'm pretty loyal to California.
Well, it's good in California now.
Other than it's French, it's beautiful. So.
Well, it was the French welcome Napa Valley. But
yes.
Now we're going to go to the Napa Valley Raymond Sauvignon Blanc. And I want to ask a question to you, Lindsay, as far as, you know, you were raised with siblings.
Yeah.
And how did you get into the world of how did you get into liking wine at the first place?
Well, the short answer is I didn't like wine. I grew up in Vermont. It's a state with more cows than people, and very rural, but very agricultural. My grandfather had a beef cattle farm, and we lived, it's called the Green Mountain State. It's a beautiful pastoral background, but there certainly wasn't a wine drinking culture by any stretch.
Well, with beef, you need wine.
You do, of course.
And I'm sure you were making good cheese.
Yes, delicious cheese. The Cabot Vermont cheddar cheese is my favorite, and they now have it in Safeway here in Napa, so I always stock up when they do. But Vermont cheese and so many wonderful, great organic agricultural products come out of Vermont. Grass-fed beef before it was a thing 35 years ago.
For sure.
That's how the agriculture works.
That's
there.
Why she's so healthy.
That being said, my path into wine, I think, is a fun one, and it has a connection to your family as well. I was in business school at the Kellogg School at Northwestern outside of Chicago, and I had been working in finance at General Electric. And then I went to work for the Today Show at NBC in a financial role. I was the manager of finance for the Today Show for a couple of years.
Very cool.
Really fun. My office address was 30 Rockefeller Plaza, so it's fun when you have a business card. That was before Tina Fey did her 30 Rock show. but it was fun.
I love it.
I knew I wanted to do something more on the front end of the business instead of the back end in finance, which is what I was doing at the Today Show. And so I went to business school to get an MBA to go into marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I did a summer internship at SC Johnson in Racine, Wisconsin. That's the company that makes Ziploc bags.
That's
and
right.
Glade and Windex and all these great household products.
Pretty exciting that we've used a lot of
yes,
those.
Yes, we all
months.
Do. But for me, after working on that product for the summer, I was like, a Ziploc bag is something you throw away. Consumers, yeah. Every consumer has one, but what is, you know, the connection is that it gets used and throw away. So I had a friend at business school who was interviewing with the E&J Gallo Winery and very much wanted to have a job with Gallo, and they had a reception the night before, and so she said to me, you should come to this reception, and I said, well, I'm not interested in the job, but they're going to have free wine, so of course I'll go.
That's a good way to seduce
young talents.
Absolutely.
Right? Maybe we should call them reception instead of
interview,
human resources,
right?
Meetings.
So I went to the free reception. I met Stephanie Gallo, who is an alumni of Kellogg as well, and I immediately connected with her, and she encouraged me to come interview the next day. And I said, I'd be happy to, but I don't know anything about wine. And she said, I can teach you that. And so I will be forever grateful for Stephanie for, having that confidence in me that I didn't have in myself, and for taking a leap of faith and giving me a job offer and bringing me for the first time to California, giving me the opportunity to have a little glimpse into this world of wine, which I, of course, fell in love with and didn't take the S.C. Johnson job offer. Came
well,
to California.
Ziploc opening a bottle of wine, I think we know what to choose, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's a pretty spectacular place, of course, and I think what I have enjoyed working with for the last 15 years is that intersection of wine and lifestyle.
Yes.
And how much, where you drink the wine and what the backdrop is like and who the people you're with, and that influences what it tastes like.
I must imagine, Lindsay, you were one of the first ladies as well, really taking such a role in the wine world.
Yeah.
At the time.
It is. It still is, much less so, but it's a male-dominated,
yes,
the business side of it is, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, need to give a shout-out to the E&J Gallo Winery, which is the largest winery in the world, still family-owned, and
yes,
has wonderful female leadership.
Absolutely.
Stephanie is a mentor and a friend, and I have so much respect for what she's doing, communicating with consumers all across the spectrum, all around the world. I have so loved working with your wife, Gina,
yes,
and having her be a spokesperson and ambassador on behalf of California Wines. And so there are so many great examples, I think, but
mm-hmm,
they are still the exception and not the norm.
So what would you advise ladies who want to get into the wine world? Because you're the prime example. Finance, phenomenal, obviously, education. You are going to go somewhere. The destiny, maybe fate takes you to an interview, and then you move to California, and then... So what advice do you have for ladies who wants to get in the wine world and to even progress in the wine world?
First and foremost, and this is from growing up in a small town in Vermont, there's no replacement for hard work. So you have to work hard, you have to push up your sleeves and put in the sweat equity no matter what you do.
Yes.
And wine, I have found, is so contingent on relationships, and it's so important. And people that I met in the beginning of my career in wine, I still intersect with them, see them, have the opportunity to work and collaborate with them. So it is really an extended family, this business.
Yes.
And you can access it if you don't know anything about wine and you grew up in Vermont, for example. You can do it.
That's amazing that you did.
But you have to, I think it's led by passion, this industry, and by family and by connections. And so I think you just have to be your authentic self.
Yes.
And find a way in. And I feel a huge obligation now that I'm fortunate enough to be where I am in the industry to always be looking back and extending a hand and
sure,
helping other people get in, especially young women who are trying to access this
and
world.
Women have such talent. Take my example. The best wine taster in my family, besides my lovely wife, my mother. My grandmothers were amazing as well at wine tastings. And I think, ladies, you have a sixth sense and a seventh sense, obviously. And I really believe women as winemakers, we have, in our team, a lot of great winemakers as ladies. And, when we started the ambassador program, we never thought we could gather over 1,400 women promoting wine today. And I'm excited to hear you say that, because taking a chance, and I think we need to create somehow a greater platform for them to reach out.
Yeah.
And to somehow be able to enter the wine world, because it's not easy. At the distributor level, maybe it's easier, but globally at the winery level, it's not an easy place. So any other recommendation you may have for that?
Look, I think you need to network and connect with people, and you need to find a way that works,
yes,
for you. I am not naturally an approacher. I'm much more reserved. And so for me, cold call networking always felt strange, but
mm-hmm,
I think you have to find what works for you, but find ways to connect with people. Read, study,
mm-hmm,
learn. There's so many easy ways to do that, whether in print or digital publications or, in the past we could go to events and we will be able to do that again, but expose yourself to it. I think, and that will help with your credibility and your ability, you know, to prove yourself from there. But also hang in there. I think that I've had so many journeys present themselves, quite honestly, that you just have to be, if a door opens, you've got to have the courage to walk through it. I had no intention of ever going into the wine business, and I'm so thankful that I was given the opportunity to do that, and that I had the courage to step through that door in Chicago and find my way out to Northern California.
What is amazing, though, from Chicago, Lindsay went to run the entire International Wine Institute. So how was that experience, and what did you learn from all those international exposure that you have? And it's obviously very, today, great news that we drink wine all over around the planet. Whatever skin color, whatever religion, we all drink wine. So how was that experience for you?
I loved that experience, but it was a phenomenal 10-year journey, literally going around the world with you many times and in many countries. So
we
thank
had a lot
you.
Of fun.
Thank you for always saying yes when I would call and say, can you be in Hong Kong? Will you be in London? Are you going to be in Mexico City? But you are such a wonderful ambassador for California and our wines, and certainly the Napa Valley.
Following in your footsteps.
But when I started that job at Wine Institute, we were exporting around $750 million of California wine. There were a whole host of, I would argue, misperceptions about California, but we were, we were not popular and respected in international markets, I would say. We would, every time I got off a plane in the country, let's say London, the California wines were perceived as too fruit forward, too high in alcohol, too expensive. It was all this negative baggage that came with California wines.
Yes.
I am happy to say that after a lot of hard work by our partner vintners like yourself, and the work that's being done here in the vineyard and the winemaking, that is no longer the case. And I think California wines are finally getting the global respect that they've always deserved, but didn't necessarily, weren't necessarily able to achieve prior to that.
Well, that's because you brought a lot of fun to it. I remember forever getting a phone call from Lindsay and say, would you mind doing this in Hong Kong? You're going to be with a painter.
Yeah.
You're going to present wine and he's going to paint, and we're going to be having a cultural experience together. That was one of the most fun.
For me too.
And we gathered so many people around us. So how do you think we should all bring more people into the wine world at large?
I think you have to, it has to be fun.
And as I do that, I'm going to serve you another glass.
Wine is, in a general sense, very intimidating and exclusive.
Yes.
It excludes people. Back to a thought I had around women and wine. Women buy more wine than men do. That is especially these days when most wine is being sold through the grocery store these last 2 months. But women are buying the wine, but it is very intimidating and excludes women in a general sense. So I think, for me, for California, part of the reason we were able to succeed internationally was that we made it fun, that we connected with people about, everybody who comes to California falls in love. So the more trade and media and consumers we could get to come to California, then they became ambassadors for life. And that was, we spent 10 years, and you've been so kind to host so many international guests at all of your properties, but if we can get them to California and they taste the wine here, they are forever an advocate of California wine. So again, I think it's all about, bringing that lifestyle into the mix, about connecting with California as a place first, and then connecting with our wine and our food and our lifestyle. And I think that really is what drove our success internationally. And that's what we need to do with younger consumers, with female consumers, both on the business side as well as on the consumer side.
I will
make
toast
it fun.
To that. Well, we've got to change glass. We've had
this
Raymond Sauvignon.
This is a gorgeous glass, my goodness.
Passion Collection.
Of course.
Crystal. Made with Baccarat. We have to bring the elixir of God in the finest recipients, right? So, Lindsay, a question I know you've thought a lot about. How do we bring more diversity into who drinks wine as well? Women is obviously a very important topic. Very important to me as being surrounded with amazing women. We have today a larger population of women in our businesses than men, and they are much more talented than we are. I have to acknowledge that. And that's why we surround ourselves with very talented, exciting ladies The topic of the day, though, is how do we bring as well more diversity into the world of wine? And I want to ask you this question because you've promoted wine from Africa to China to Japan to every continent possible. What would be your suggestion for all of us producers and, you know, promoters of fine wines around the world to do so?
Look, I think wine is such a connector of people, of culture, of of countries and communities, and I think that there's an opportunity right now, that there's a need. Certainly there is a lot of healing and progress that needs to be done here in the United States, but around the world as well. And I think it's about bringing more people to the table with wine, about being inclusive, not exclusive,
yes,
about being approachable, about being warm and welcoming. And these are all core values of California and the Napa Valley. But I think wine can really be a catalyst for bringing people together. Mm-hmm. We need to do more overt outreach in our marketing and our communications. It is a largely white and economic privilege that are accessing the wine industry right now. And I think a lot of work needs to be done in that regard. And I'm so proud of the conversation that's happening within the wine community,
yes,
right now around this, from large companies to small. It is time for us to focus on this as well.
Yes.
And I think wine can be a real catalyst for that. There are brands that I think are doing an amazing job with inclusivity,
yes,
and accessibility and approachability. The Barefoot brand, for example, comes to mind as,
yep,
being really out in front at the tip of the spear with that.
For sure.
But that's certainly not the only example. And I think that we need to celebrate all of that in the month of June, in the month of Pride,
yes,
and really focus on that shortcoming, I think, of the wine industry overall. We have work to be done, but I'm very confident that we can do it, and I think we can have fun along the way.
Absolutely. That's the key. So, talking fun, what is your most memorable experience going around the world, promoting wine, and bringing California to light?
I think on a tactical level, I was so appreciative of everywhere I got off a plane in that role over the 10-year period, whether that was Russia or Poland or Mexico or Canada or Singapore, and I said I was from California. People's faces lit up, and they had such a positive impression of
what
California.
What was their perception of California?
Well, you had California Dreaming, the Golden Gate Bridge, Baywatch, Rodeo Drive, Lake Tahoe, all those things. We'll take
sea,
them,
sun, the beach.
All of that, of course, and wine sometimes. So, I think that that was always very fulfilling for me to get to fly that California flag all over the world. And in terms of some of the, I'm so proud of so many of the events that our Global Wine Institute team was able to do with great vintners like yourselves. But that Hong Kong Vin Expo experience that,
yes,
year when we came together with our partners at Visit California and brought a little bit of the pixie dust that they are able to do. We knew that, as always, many other, particularly European wine regions, are very well funded and they can do great events and they don't have the restrictions that we had with our USDA funding. And so we had to be more creative. We had no money and we had to be super creative. So we did a breakfast event rather than a dinner or a cruise or,
yes,
all of these other things. And we brought all of influential women in wine.
That's great.
To do our California style event. We had a red carpet. We had 10-foot high gold letters spelling out California. It was at 7:00 in the morning. We worked with Sarah Kemp and Deborah Myberg and Karen McNeil came over with us. And we just had
very creative and powerful woman in wine.
Yes. We did this California style event and we were terrified that nobody would come. It was on the Wednesday, the middle of the week for Vin Expo Hong Kong. And I'm so happy to say that we sold out immediately. We had a line of people wrapped around the corner. We ended up adding another 100 chairs in the back of the room. They didn't even get to taste the wine, but they came and they got to see this powerful stage of female,
yes,
leadership in the wine industry with a backdrop of California, red carpets and glitter and glitz and all of that. I think that was just a way for California finally to break through and be,
mm-hmm,
proud of, and stand on our own.
Woman again.
And then that was the day that we had David Garibaldi, the painter,
yes,
who did he paints sort of of upside down and cryptically very quickly, and you don't know what it's going to be until the end. And so he painted a beautiful photo, painting portrait of Audrey Hepburn.
That's right.
Which was fun.
And he painted on my trousers as well with my Red Sox, which was very memorable.
In the middle of the trade show floor, this was an example of where we didn't ask permission, we asked forgiveness, because of course the show organizers were like, what is happening? There's loud music, there's paint, it's the middle of the very serious wine show. But I think you have to, again, have a little fun, break through the clutter, and be willing to take a risk, and it all works out.
Well, and it did. So, wine for breakfast. I love the idea, by the way.
Why not?
So, how do you keep this balance? I think a lot of people today are wondering, I'm going to go back to work. Yes, no. And you're a prime example of a lady who's built an incredible aura around you as far as wine and all the great dynamism you have. But how do you keep husband, children? What's your recipe? The secret Lindsay recipe of balance, besides drinking great wines.
Great wine, yes. I'm a master organizer. Some might say a little obsessive compulsive with scheduling and calendaring and organizing. I don't do well with right now my house is a state of disarray most of the time in this shelter in place, but that's been good for me. I think I do put a lot of energy and effort into, trying to manage a schedule, both from a work standpoint and a kid standpoint and a life standpoint. And so I think
you have different colors for each of
you
the
can't
activities.
Imagine. I am obsessed with post-it notes and highlighters. I color code my calendar. This is the kids. This is me. This
Maybe
is my husband.
You should come to our house and give us a few advice.
Sometimes it's a completely futile, but at least I attempt to do that. But I think, as I said before, I compartmentalize in my head every day. Okay, this is what I have to do for work today, and this is what my kids need today, and that is the top priority, and this is what I'd like to do in my house. I might not get to that these days, but anyway, it's the good side of shelter in place is nobody's been able to come over, so now I can see what a mess it is. We also got a spin bike outside my bedroom door that I aspire to do my Peloton app more often than I've been doing these days, but when the little window of time presents itself, then I think you've got to take care of yourself.
So sports, organization, yes. Discipline, scheduling, and, time management.
Yes, all of that. And a little bit of wine in People magazine is usually.
So you want to escape into that too.
That is my one old school subscription that I still get, the local paper and People magazine.
What and who inspires you the most?
I have always been inspired by women who are celebrities, but also connect with people in a meaningful way. So I have always admired Oprah Winfrey.
For sure.
This is a funny story, but she was teaching a class. She's from Chicago, and she was teaching a class in media and consumer research at Northwestern, and that might have been part of the reason that I chose to go to business school there and not some other East Coast options. And it was one of those things where I was fortunate to get accepted to a lot of, well-known schools for business. And there was a little bit of shock when I chose, to go to Kellogg because for a number of reasons. I wanted to go into marketing, but I also, pieces of the puzzle, like having the opportunity to potentially get to learn from someone like Oprah was very aspirational for me. Sadly, she stopped teaching the class the year that I went there, so I didn't get to be in the class. But, I think she has a platform and she has influence and she really connects with people and has been a great leader and inspiration for me on how to connect and bring the world together.
This is exciting. I was not expecting Oprah. That's wonderful. Well, she's an inspiration to all of us. Yeah. So what do you think of this wine?
I think this one is beautiful too. My goodness, I am. It's a rosé day, so we can have rosé all day today, right?
We will.
It's beautiful.
Well, it's late afternoon here on Saturday, but
yes.
We still...
It's happy hour, right?
Night.
Yes.
Absolutely, happy hour.
Yes.
So, three words for this one.
This one is fresh.
Yes.
This one...
And I haven't told
Lindsay
where it's from.
No, I didn't even see.
She's trying, but I'm hiding.
Tricking
hiding.
Me back to France here.
Yes! She gets it. No. I knew I could not fool her. We have to go to Provence.
Of course.
And then
we
we'll go back to Napa.
Of course we do. Yes. No, this is, I... I thought of fields of lavender and all that. You know, just the color is stunning once again. So I think you've hit it out of the park on all of these beautiful examples. But again, I have to say I haven't been drinking much rosé yet, and I'm feeling very excited for summer. And I think that this is a perfect patio wine.
Today we're starting.
You know, why not?
So I love it. Lavender. This is our JCB number 5. Which is the Saint-Victoire Vineyard, so one of the most prominent vineyards in Provence, a few kilometers away from Mer Méditerranée. Wow. Imagine the beautiful scents, the lavender, the incredible olive trees, the South of France lifestyle. We only need food. Well, maybe just in half an hour, well. So we need to finish, of course, with Napa Valley.
Yes, please.
So this is our 1881, and you have a fascination for history as well.
Yes.
And this is obviously 1881 from Oakville. And this is the famous Oakville grocery and the 1881 destination. This is our rosé, which is a Zinfandel rosé.
Fun.
So I'd love your opinion on that. And on that note, I want to ask you, what fuels this incredible passion of yours? If it's not rosé wine, what is it?
Well, in addition to rosé wine, look, I come from a family that has always valued hard work and authenticity, and I'm so happy that most days I am able to channel that hard work into something productive on behalf of I like working to build collaboration, and so I found myself in this trade association world for the last 10 or 11 years.
It's it's a big difference from the entrepreneurship you've had before. Now you get to be an entrepreneur, but is it more, confined or
it
rigid?
Is. I've gone from, talking about California as a state all
yes.
around the world to now being so happy to be 2 blocks away from my office and, to live and work in the valley that I get to, tell the world about. I feel very fortunate in that regard, but it also brings a lot of things much more hyper-local
yes.
than they have been for me in the past. I grew up in a town of less than 1,000 people and was used to everybody knowing me and my siblings and my parents and my grandparents, and so I find a little bit of that experience coming back again here for me in the Napa Valley, where everybody knows me now and everybody knows what my job is, and,
yes.
and everybody wants us to succeed in bringing tourism back. So there's a lot of pressure in that regard,
but you know how to manage
a lot of
it
reward.
Well.
Yeah, well, most days, yes. Except
but is there a passion you have besides Napa Valley, California, wine?
I love connecting with people.
Yes.
And I think that I worked in finance and in a lot of different more corporate industries. And for me, I feel most at home in a role where I can connect with people and bring them together. My family was from a very small town, but always very welcoming to everybody from the outside. I like to say my mom collected all the stray people, from everywhere. But we had friends from Venezuela and from Sweden, and my grandmother
yes.
was from Quebec. And so I had a really great experience with the world coming from a very small place, which was rare at that point in time. But I think I've been able to, to approach my life in that way, and always, I say nice matters. You have to be nice first,
yes.
And then you have to connect with people, and then you can channel that into business, into raising children, into
but this is very
all
true.
Of these things.
The education
know?
We have, we had a very similar one. I was raised in a village of less than 200. We never locked the house. There was no alarm at the time in the early 70s, and my mother would always welcome any of my friends, and it was phenomenal time, and you bring that true passion for people that you have. Now I know where you get your French, from the Quebec grandmother.
Yes, she was Quebecois. Yes. We had relatives in Montreal, and they would come for the summer, and, it was just so foreign and so fascinating from my little sheltered world in Vermont. But it gives you context and color and
yes.
Creativity and just exposure beyond your own your own boundaries, I guess, if you will.
So talking about boundaries,
yeah.
what is the dream you'd like to share to all of us that you have? Or the many dreams?
Many dreams. Look, the past few months have been challenging, but
yes.
I also have been able to, to witness how people all around the world connect with the Napa Valley, and what a special place this is. And so, you know, right now my hope is that we can, you know, open our doors to those almost 4 million people who come and visit us every year. Once again,
4 million.
I know we, you know, it's going to take time to build that back up safely.
Yes.
And in a healthy way, both for the economy and for our public health. But I would like to, you know, be able to do that again. I would love to be able to travel again, and fly a Napa Valley flag and, you know, share our wines with friends around the world.
And maybe a more personal dream.
Yes, I would. Some days.
Maybe that your husband does not even know you.
No, I hope to raise children who are humble and kind, and who are comfortable pursuing their own passions. You know, I think I really, you know, am thankful for my small town upbringing, where I think I have very good roots and was also given wings. You know, as my mother likes to point out sometimes, California is as far away as you can get from Vermont in the continental United States.
I love this expression, roots with wings.
Yes.
Very well said.
That's, you know, I think that's the goal of all parents, right? I mean,
yes.
I feel very rooted and very centered from my background and from, you know, the town that I grew up in. But I also, you know, you have to have the courage to use your wings. And if you have good roots, then I think you can really fly.
Well said. So last question for Lindsay. The tough one. You know how much I love to share secrets.
I do.
So what is a secret you're willing to share with us that maybe none of us really know? As I serve you.
Yes, a little more of that.
A little more
of
that.
This package is stunning, by the way.
Well, this represents, you know, 1881.
Yes.
This represents Mount Santalina, which is obviously the mount at the far end of the 47,000 acres planted in Napa Valley that really gave birth to the Vacas on the eastern side and Mayacamas Mountain. So we really wanted to design this bottle as the drop of the tears of God that gave birth fantastic wine in Napa Valley. You know, the tear of the sky that goes through the volcanic soil and gives birth to the roots and gives us wings. Now that's going to be my new saying, roots with wings.
As only you could say on this one. You know, and I do want to thank you for your vision and passion in bringing to life the 1881 concept and for sharing Napa Valley's history with our visitors. I think it's so important, you know, to tell that story. There are so many people that assume that Napa Valley started making wine in the early 1970s when that wonderful event, the Paris Tasting, happened.
Yes.
But I'm always reminding them that we've been making wine in California for hundreds of years. We
for
have
sure.
a long history of that. And so I'm really thankful for your vision and your sharing the history of Napa Valley with
speech,
everybody.
When we opened, the museum was fabulous. You know, we opened this museum, the history of Napa Valley, that we worked on with Lynn Weber, Karen McNeil, and a few other phenomenal ladies, in fact. And we opened the doors, and Lindsay kindly did a fabulous speech to welcome all our guests and to welcome the world to the history of Napa. And as you said, it's so important to learn the past and to know the past to eventually anticipate our future, even though, sadly, I need to say, history repeats itself, and we don't learn enough from the past. But don't escape
back to
from the secret.
So
Lindsay's so talented. You see, she's trying to take me on another path.
All right, this is what comes to mind, which is not so profound. But given the choice, I usually drink milk with my dinner and not wine. So.
Is it a secret? Well, I shared a similar one, Lindsay.
That's a little Vermont.
Well, but this is the dinner with the kids. The dinner
that's
with
right,
her husband
that's right. that's
at 9 p.m. is different. You know, Lindsay, I need to confess. I shared that secret before. I love chocolate milk.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
And chips as well. So that's what we say in France. Péché mignon, meaning your forbidden secret that you never share. So thank you for sharing.
Milk and chips, guys.
To chips and milk. Lindsay, thank you immensely for being with us on the JCB Live. Congratulations for all that you do, not only for the United States, for California, for today, more specifically, visit Napa Valley, for presiding us and giving us an amazing path and for making this valley so incredible.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and please come back and see us in Napa Valley. We would love to welcome you back.
So visit NapaValley.com. Come and see us.